Working Class on DeerCast, another episode, and I'm here with my good friends, the Bouchaks. How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Good, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to see you guys. You just killed a bird this morning?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I went hunting with my niece whenever we got her a bird on the youth day. And then my first chance to get out was today. So I slept in this morning about 8:30, went, grabbed the coffee, made a lap of the block, saw a bird strutting out in the field with a hen. So I made another lap around and I'm like, okay, he's with her, you know. And on my next lap around the block, I watched the hen go across the road where I don't hunt and the gobbler's walking in the field back, the back side of it. And I'm like, well, this is good. So I went down, parked, trucked it through the woods, and I set up on him the first time, and, you know, we're talking back and forth, and he didn't want to come through this thick stuff, so I just, I made a move, went around him probably 100 yards, call again, and he gobbles right where I just was. So I called a few more times, and he ended up finally working his way up, and he got to probably 80, 90 yards, and I just shut up on him, and he finally came in 20 yards and let him have it. So
that was it.
Yeah, great hunt, 11:09, just about an hour ago, and got out of the woods, and here we are.
Well, his only days off are Wednesday and Sunday, and we can't hunt Sunday in Pennsylvania. So,
okay.
He hasn't been out yet, and I'm like, you got to be home by noon. We've got to meet with Kurt. So.
Yeah, it's the first time ever in our relationship that she's like, you got to be home at a certain time today. And I'm like, what? Okay, so.
Yeah. Well, this is probably one of the freshest podcasts after a successful hunt. If it's not the freshest, it's close.
Yep.
So you guys are from PA. I kind of did a shitty job introducing you guys. I just said Bouchaks and just went from there, but it's just from me knowing you. And you guys have been on the podcast off and on and in the WCB community, if you will. But you guys are I consider you guys a hardcore hunting couple out of Pennsylvania, but you guys hunt all over the place. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So what I want to do with this, we're going to have a little bit of couples therapy, as Rachel said here before the podcast. And I think everyone thinks, oh, it'd be great if my wife hunted because I wouldn't have to buy that bumper sticker from you guys that says you can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks. But that might not be the case always. It's probably not all unicorns and rainbows all the time, is it?
It's not always all, that stuff. It's not a bad thing, though. Like I said, today was the first time she ever told me when I had to be back.
Okay, good problem right there. Told
I can't go hunting. We do hunt a lot together, but mainly when we're out of state. When we're at home, we kind of do our own thing. Yeah, we'll hunt the same farms, but kind of have different styles in the way we do things. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually never hunt whitetails together. We hunt elk together, turkey, and maybe during gun season we'll sit together if one of us is tagged out already.
Yeah.
But we don't hunt together.
We tried it once when we were first dating and archery hunting, and that wasn't.
We hung a double set once in Ohio, and that was the end of that.
So, do you guys find yourselves on the pieces you hunt together? I would assume you guys are sharing trail cam pictures and sharing same trail cams and all that.
Well, you can't hide that, Kurt. That'd be worse than cheating, buddy. You have to share the photos.
Okay. Well, that gets that off the table right away. So how do you guys decide who goes where and when they go there?
So I hunt a lot more than him just because I can, with my work schedule and stuff. So he said we have different hunting styles. I tend to be a little bit more conservative, I think, than him because I don't want to ruin any of our spots because I do hunt a lot.
Yeah.
He waits and makes his move very strategically. He's a very efficient hunter. But we normally have different deer in mind. We hunt, I don't know, 5 or 6 different properties here in PA. Most of them just by permission. And then we own a couple of small pieces, and You know, we're always trying to kill like the best deer we have on camera at each property, but like we each have different tastes, I think. And then if there's something like we both want to go after, we literally put names in a hat. And
it's a fair way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How often?
I mean, we haven't really had an opportunity where there was like one deer and we're like, okay, we can kill this deer tonight. Who's going there? I mean, it was close this year in the late season. You know, Rach had been putting a lot of time in cold weather out behind our house, and we had standing beans, and she was really on one, and I just kind of, you know,
let her do her thing.
We'll say stepped aside. Like, yeah. I mean, it was a great buck. I would have shot the buck in a heartbeat.
At the same time, you know, it's like when someone's on one, you can tell when they're super invested. Yeah. So that's probably like you pick up on the just certain cues on like, hey, this is your deer. I'm going to let you try and close the deal on this buck type of thing.
Well, like this buck right here, if you're watching on video, it's about 141 inch buck he killed a couple years ago. And I'd been after that buck all year, but I couldn't hunt that day and like go get him, and he did. You know? So, and I was probably happier for him than he was. Like,
well, after
I just wanted to put my hands on the deer.
Yeah, that was the first one that I'd killed with a rifle since I was like 13 years old, and because I like the bow hunt, and I still had the tag, and she talked me into where to go. You know, and he was in a meeting, I think, is why she couldn't go. So I'm right out back behind the house, you know, probably 600 yards.
I work from home. So, like, I'm on a conference call, and I hear the shot.
So she heard it. Mean, my phone's ringing before the gun's even, you know, set back down.
Yeah.
And so I told her, and the worst part was he came up to 40 yards when I shot him. I should have had my bow.
Just bow. That's how it works.
Just to say that was going to happen, you know? But once we came back, I called her. She came back, and I thought I made a good shot, you know. And once we got to the deer, she actually cut in front of me to get to the deer to check it out before I could even get to it. I'm like, what are you doing? You know,
you're ruining it.
I mean, she was very, I mean, and it was a great buck. We both, you know, obviously wanted to kill that deer, but she was after him pretty hard. And I guess that was a test. I mean, I'm still
like,
here, so.
My elk, I spotted it first, so I didn't even give him a shot. Like, nope, I spotted it. You drop back and call.
Yeah.
Like, see, and I'm sure there's a lot of like things that you learn through like the growth of your relationship of stuff like that. It's like, now if you would have went after that elk and it didn't work out, the next one would have been his shot type of thing. And then they're like, you guys are cool about it, which is awesome. I'm sure there's hunting couples out there who aren't. But you know, I always envision like deer that that took like 2-3 months of a season of effort to kill. If I would have had to split that time with Sam, you know, Sam has hunted. She's not, doesn't care to hunt like I hunt. And I'm thankful for it. Like she understands it, but I don't have to compete with my time for a deer. So it makes me think about certain things like that. Like how would this be if Sam was with me every time I went, that type of thing. Do you see it as like, when you killed that buck where she was in the conference call, Rachel, do you see it as like how I viewed when I hunted with my dad, him getting one is like just as good as me getting it. It all comes back. Like I get to have the mount too and share the experiences. Do you view it the same way?
Yep, definitely. I mean, like, especially I think back last year, elk hunting, I didn't even have a tag and I prepared more for that hunt. Just practice calling for him. Like hiking, getting in shape, making sure I can keep up with it. You know, like I wanted to help him get an elk like more than I wanted, you know, to get an elk myself the year before, you know? And like, I like seeing him happy, obviously. So
right.
Makes a happier marriage.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean, when we elk hunted, it is like, it was a team effort for sure. Cause I mean, we didn't know what we were doing when we first went out there, you know, we had to figure it out together. So, and she figured out a lot more stuff than me. She spent more time on a computer. Oh, we need to go here, here, and here. We walked, I don't know, 80 some miles the first year.
Yeah.
And then figured out where to walk and made a lot better. And we got successful at it. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of fun. And even, I mean, I was there. I was a full draw at the same time she was on that bull. And if she would have let it go, it would have walked in my lap 15 yards. And who's to say, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We have a bowl on the wall.
Who's to say,
you know, and we got to eat some great elk meat and yeah. We're going again this fall. So it'll be fun.
But yeah, I don't think like the way I treat it is like, I never want to take anything away from him. I mean, that's partly why we don't hunt together. Like we're both pretty selfish with our time. Like I don't want to sit in a blind and watch him kill a deer or double sight and watch him kill a deer. No offense. I want you to kill a deer, but like, I want to be hunting.
That makes sense.
And vice versa. And he's told me that before. It's like, if I weren't as experienced of a hunter when we first started dating, like it might not have worked out because, you know, not saying it's a bad thing, but like, you know, he didn't want to necessarily like take the time to teach me everything. Like
yeah.
he has very limited time to hunt. And, you know, I needed to be pretty independent about it.
You just would have had to, things just would have had to been gone about a little differently.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I get
and
that.
And then like sharing all our spots, like I keep a detailed log of who hunts where, when, just to make sure we're not.
So you can dig shit up from the past. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, well, throw it in my face. You hunted that stand 3 days in a row.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Well, no, like, yeah, last year sure you hunted, not, pulls out the log. It's like, honey, listen.
So, just to make sure we're not putting too much pressure anywhere, you know?
Like, yeah, I hear you.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool, though. Okay, so let's do this. Let's break this down. What is the worst thing about being in a hunting marriage and the best thing? And maybe you guys have different outlooks on it, and I'm not trying to stir shit up in your marriage. I just think this is a fun thing to talk about for other people that are like, man, that would be the best. Or some people might think I would never want that too, you know? So.
Well, I would say the best, we'll go best first. Cause I need to think about the worst thing. The best thing I think is just our views align on pretty much everything. Like we don't really have any disagreements, on how we spend our money. On like date, like we don't go on dates really. Our idea of a date is we, you know, cook some venison for dinner, we shoot our bows, and you know, we drive around and glass for deer in the summer. And,
yeah,
you know, that's the time of the year it is. Like, we save our money to spend on hunting. Like, the only trips we've ever been on together are hunting trips. Like, so the nice thing is, we never really have to compromise. Like, oh, he wants to do this and I want to do that, and what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So that's nice, I think. And just like the mutual understanding of like being raised in a hunting family. I think like we're very close to our families. You know that they were raised with like certain morals and values that align with yours. Like, it just instantly like made me trust him, right? Like,
yeah,
that we bonded over these things.
That makes sense.
That's the best thing.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, for me, like, never being told you have to go somewhere during, you know, a time when you know it's going to be good. Like, if we get a cold snap in October and we had plans to go to dinner, she's the first one to cancel, which is it's phenomenal. I mean, it's
right.
Great. You don't have to worry. We're not going to go to a wedding in November. I can tell you right now, it's not going to happen. You
know? I hate weddings. Don't invite me to your wedding.
We're not those people. We'll send you a great, you know, here you go.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Here's a $50 gift card to the Applebee's. Have a good time.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the best part, is always just, no matter what I want to do. I mean, in the summertime, if I want to go put minerals out, or, you know, we're going to prep a food plot or anything, like, I never have to show, oh, you should be doing something else. It's always, oh yeah, that's great. Or
yeah,
I know she'll say, well, I'm taking the tractor and going to mow the plot over here, and oh, good idea, you know.
Yeah, right.
So that's really nice, in the fact that like I have a partner, a wife that cares as much as I do, and we have the same idea on what we want to accomplish. And even
for sure,
like, she's come up with great ideas to just change things that I never looked at.
And yeah,
I'd been hunting that farm for 15 or 20 years, you know, and it's like, oh
yeah.
Okay.
You know? I hear you. Because my perspective is, and I think maybe a lot of guys and gals can relate with me. Like, Sam doesn't care. She understands that like I have to mow the food plot or do this or prep this. And she gets all that. She's understanding of all of it, but that doesn't mean, even I know that, maybe this is a me thing, while I'm doing some of these things and I'm away again for another week or another weekend, I kind of operate with this like internal guilt of like, I'm enjoying my time doing this, but I wish I could also be at home with the family. But I'm like, I'm conflicted a little bit internally sometimes. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you probably live with that a little less than a normal married couple.
Yeah, we don't have that guilt.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
None of that.
So it's my wife doesn't care, and she would tell me not to feel guilty, but mm-hmm. it's just one of those things. And I don't live with it all the time, but it's sometimes when I know I could be doing other more productive shit for my life, but my life is hunting. So there's the argument, right?
I would say sometimes I feel guilty because, like I said, I have more time to hunt. And so like if I go, let's say I go to Ohio for the weekend because you can hunt Sundays there and he can't go with me because he's got to work. I do feel bad like going without him,
yeah.
but it's never not stopped. That bad.
Yeah, she still goes.
I mean, right. Yeah, but
it's dear. It's okay.
But you wouldn't tell her not to go.
No. Oh no, I encourage her to go. I'm like, if I could go, I wouldn't feel guilty about leaving you at home. Right. And that's like when we first started, like I hunted in Ohio on Sundays because we're not that far from the line. So we, you know, on Sunday she can't hunt. And I'm like, I'm going to go to Ohio and hunt all day.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask her to go for, I don't know, probably 2 years, yeah. I think, before I even let her come with me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't let her, I had owned a farm before, you know, we got together and I didn't let her hunt there for 3 years. And she could probably tell you what happened first time.
I never even asked to hunt it though.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I wanted to like earn my spot on that farm before, yeah. you know? And so for a couple of years, like I helped with food plots. I helped.
Oh, I worked.
It's a farm you owned?
Yes.
Oh, really? That adds an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Yes. It was kind of like my baby. It was, you know, first piece of property I ever bought. It was just an overgrown field with a little tiny bottleneck in the back of it. It's probably 15 acres in the back. It's a bottleneck's down. And I had just started doing all kinds of stuff. And then she came over and started helping and immediately had like some brilliant ideas. And I'm like,
I put in like 200 hours on the tractor,
yep.
Digging ditches because it's really wet, and like drained it out to this pond, and then like mowed areas for food plots within the, because it's like 40 acres of red brush.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drained it out so it wasn't so wet, put in some food plots around the edges where we could hunt. And so finally I'm like, you know, I put some time in here. Do you think maybe I could get a hunt in this year? And the first time I hunted his farm, I killed a buck and a doe with my bow the same morning in like 2 hours. I called him. I was like, I need some help. I got deer down everywhere.
Well, that's good karma, though. If you put in the hours, I mean, yep. that's well deserved then, you know. Yep.
She earned it more than most others that have been there.
Yeah. I mean,
that's our biggest, yeah. I would say that's our biggest downfall. We let too many of our friends hunt our properties. Yeah. Like, we do a really good job managing our property. But when it comes, like, and we're so serious about it during bow season, but when it gets to gun season, we've got a lot of friends that don't hunt and they see us posting about it and they're like, I want to learn. And so like last year we had three guys opening weekend of gun season kill like all of our 2-year-olds.
Yep.
You know, but it, like, it's cool. I think and that's one thing
they're
we
happy
did.
I don't, if you're happy with the deer, I don't care, shoot it,
you yeah
know? And we both always had that mentality that we're not going to probably shoot that deer, but that's okay. Like, yeah. if you want to shoot it, shoot it.
That's right. Cool of you guys.
So we skip what's the worst part?
What's the worst part? You go first.
Yeah, I was getting ready to loop that back in. I was wondering if you guys were going to avoid it.
The worst part. It's twice as expensive. I mean,
that's something a lot of people don't probably consider.
Like, all right, you got a new bow this year. I want a new bow. Like, you know, and our new optics are, you know, hunting trips. I mean, going out west, like, it ain't cheap to begin with. But like I said, we don't spend money elsewhere. So like,
yeah.
that kind of helps. It's not something we ever fight over, really.
Yeah.
I wish some people were better about not spending so much money.
Hey, here, okay.
Stuff, you know?
One thing that comes to mind is Western hunting. Uh-huh. Like, I'm really short and he's not tall, but average, right? And
yeah.
So we got in a fight on the side of the mountain because we're going through some dark timber and I'm navigating. And I like to go through, like when there's a bunch of lowdowns, I'll find a spot where I can kind of duck under because it's really hard for me to crawl over, like with my pack and everything on. And he would get really irritated because he can't go under as easily. And we're getting an argument on the side of the mountain about like which path to take. He's like, you pick the hardest routes when you're navigating through the mountains. And we're arguing and we come out on the side of the road at like nowhere near where I intended to come out. And so now we've got to walk the road back for like a couple miles. And he's like, maybe someone will come by and like we can hitchhike and we'll get a ride, you know? And so we're like fighting on the side of the road. I end up like hitting him with my bugle tube. And he pulls his bear spray on me and like he didn't discharge it, but like right when we're doing that, this car comes around the like curve on the road.
Sees this assault going on.
At us like, yeah, like domestic violence on the
side. We didn't get a ride either.
He's like, I'm not getting involved in any of that.
That doesn't look good.
But no, I don't. All right, what do you think?
The worst. I guess you know, when we go out in public, she's been very successful killing very nice deer. So if I have an off year, I get to hear about it, you know. I guess that is tough, but most time I can look right at him and say, well, she did better than you. So
there you go.
What are you gonna say to that?
So, yeah. I taught her everything she knows and then just hope she doesn't hear it.
I don't do that because she'd put me in my place. Yeah. I didn't teach her everything she does.
I know that, yeah.
He's got a very good mind in figuring everything out. So
I will. For sure. He taught me a lot about archery. I hunted archery before him, but he worked at a bow shop his whole life. And so like really, really helped me improve my setup.
See, like, that's awesome.
I never would have been able to kill an elk, I don't think, without you and like figuring out how to get the best bow, the best arrows, the best broadheads. You know, tuning all of it.
Because Rachel, you are, like you alluded to earlier, you're short, you're smaller framed. So you probably have to think a little more about your arrow, your broadhead, the bow, the pound, all that stuff probably matters a little more than just a guy who's 5'8 to 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So what is your draw length?
24 and a half.
That's nuts. So, I mean,
I'm 5'0".
On a good day.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old niece is now taller than me, but I'm pulling like 55 pounds. So I've worked my way up for elk for sure. And I actually build like a different arrow for elk that's a lot heavier, you know, but I'll practice with a lighter one in the summer so that I can still get the distance. Cause like on my sight, you know, if I dial so far, like my fletchings will hit the bottom of my sight housing and I can't shoot any further, you know? So like, I'll build lighter arrows so I can shoot farther. And yeah, there's definitely a lot more that goes into it because I'm so small.
Yeah. That's interesting. But that's maybe a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah.
24 inch draw. You're killing elk. It's pretty impressive either way. Like no matter how you look at it.
She had to work really hard at it, and I would show her that I used to do that, and I no longer do that. My father owned a sporting goods store, and I worked there for a long time. He sold the business, and I liked working there, but it took up too much of your time during hunting season because we're in a last-minute world. Everybody wants everything at the last minute. I want to be hunting. So
for sure.
Now I have more evenings and stuff where I can go hunting and all that. But I would teach her one time how to do it, and then I let her figure it out on her own because she's very independent and I want to learn how to do it. So we show her, and then once she wants to make the final tweak, she's very good.
Because that, like, that's my pet peeve is, like, if I do shoot a nice buck or something, someone says, oh, you know, I'm sure your husband just helped you get that, or your dad, all you did was pull the trigger, you know, like, you get that a lot. And
I bet you do get that a lot. I didn't even think about that.
I want to be able to say, like, no, I hung my own stand, I tuned my own bow, I processed my own deer. Like, literally, the only thing I really need help doing is getting the deer in the truck.
Yeah, it's true. Which is fair.
And
all need help.
Yeah.
I think that's what, like, makes me so independent. It's like, I want to be able to say, no, I did this all myself.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Know? I think that's cool. Yeah, I guess I don't have to think about that, right? Like, I bet you deal with that all the time, especially if you're at, and I don't know if that's just in passing when people, mm-hmm. you're talking about hunting, or if it's at like a trade show, or maybe even the working class bow hunter. Well, most people know you there. They're not going to give you guys grief, you know, but it's, I can imagine that'd probably be a little annoying. And on your end too, like vice versa, like, oh yeah, your wife kills bigger bucks than you. Like you, even, mm-hmm. even if you didn't that year, that's probably still what people are saying anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
but
I mean, we compete, don't get me wrong. And yeah. like, there's, there's definitely competition, but it's very friendly, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm her biggest supporter. I hope she's mine. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we yeah. want to see each other do good, you know, but we compete in anything.
We are super competitive about everything, I would say, except actually killing the deer. Like, I want him to kill the biggest deer we have on camera.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
vice versa. But like shed hunting, it's a fight to the death, and he won this year.
Winner.
Fight to the death.
Yeah,
it is.
If we shed hunt together, I think we're terrible shed hunters because we're both like almost running to try to like beat the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better when we go to different properties. Mm-hmm. But like everything's a competition. Shooting, like we make shooting a competition all summer.
Who's
like,
who's the better shot?
We'll shoot our bows, and it's like, okay, closest to the X or farthest from the X has to go buy ice cream when we go for a drive, you know?
Yeah.
And he's always got to buy ice cream.
Oh, so Rachel, you're the better shot.
No, I wouldn't say that. Well, he's a very good shot.
It's close. it can be won on either day by either person.
Okay, I'm gonna make things interesting real quick.
I like it.
Yeah.
You guys are coming to the working class bow hunter shoot this year?
Yeah.
You guys have to have a competition, 30 targets, and we need to make some sort of like waiver, whoever wins type of thing.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay,
I'll win.
I have
some money on me.
I don't want to throw this on you, but did you hear about Doug and Eric's bet they just made?
No.
So Doug and Eric, I don't know why, they're Iowa boys. They're on a team. They just made a bet against each other. Whoever kills the bigger whitetail this year, the other person's got to eat one of those hot, like individually packaged chips. You know,
right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I did hear. That was on a recent episode.
Yeah. So I don't know why, because Doug doesn't like spicy things, but he took that bet. So I think he's feeling confident. So I'm not saying it has to be that, but it has to be something that people at the shoot can get a kick out of.
All right.
Okay, we'll start the wagers first thing in the morning. We'll go at, you know, like 10 o'clock, we'll start our
process. Well, do I get a handicap or
not? No, you don't get a handicap. No.
No. Uh-uh. Furthest out stake.
Straight up. Last year at the shoot, I remember I could only, with my single pin sight, like I could only shoot to like 78 yards or something before my fletching would hit my sight housing.
Which is still really far.
Curly was at 88.
Yeah. For people who don't know, Curly was a steel target buck where the vitals are cut out of it.
And I wanted to shoot at Curly. So I'm like, wonder how high I need to aim. So I took one practice shot where I aimed like, I don't know, a good foot above the top of his back. And I think I like just barely missed. And I was like, all right, one more. And on my second shot, I nailed it on Curly. And, like, I don't even have a pin for that. I was pretty pumped.
See, that's awesome. You just got to, like, memorize your mark.
Three of my arrows. I don't know.
There was a lot of arrows getting ruined. But we were throwing prizes out on it, making, you know.
Yeah, it was a great time.
That's the fun part about it is, like, friendly bets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about quick, and you guys probably, well, maybe. I was going to say, you guys probably never argue about home decor by the judge of your background, but I bet you do argue about the placement of it.
Oh.
So, the wall behind us is like the main wall you see when you walk in the house, and it fits five shoulder mounts, and then we've got like a bunch of Euros in between them. And so we said like our best five scoring deer go on that wall because that's what you see when you walk in the door. And so that is part of the competition right now is three of those five deer are mine and he has number what, 1 and 4 and I have 2, 3, and 5. So mine's the next one to get knocked out. Like, so his goal is to shoot one big enough to knock out that deer.
That's fun. That's a good, that's a fun, fair competition, right?
Oh, and I mean, you know, the rules. I mean, we just put the tape to it and there's,
it is what it is.
I guess we haven't decided on a tie yet. But.
Yeah.
Mm, then you just squeeze one more in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get two on each one. Got,
like the ones that get kicked off the wall behind us are on the other walls that you can't see. So yeah, we don't ever argue that.
No. Okay. Here's a debatable taxidermy thing. And I personally am for it. Deer heads in the bedroom.
No.
Yes.
Oh, why, Rachel? Why no?
I don't know. I just want them all in the living room.
All right.
I don't know.
Fair.
I don't mind euros in the bedroom, but I don't know. I don't like shoulder mounts.
I can have them.
I know. It's like I'll cram them in the bathroom if I got to put one in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would rather just put in an addition. Like, let's build a new room when we run out of space. I don't know.
Good problems, man. Good problems. Well, I think you guys are a lot healthier in the hunting relationship. Not that I doubted you guys, but I figured there'd be a little more turmoil unless you guys are putting on a really good front. But just in like dynamic and stuff. But you know, maybe most hunting couples are like you guys are, and understanding and cohesive and a team. But maybe not.
I thought of something.
Oh,
I spoke too soon.
God, Kurt, we're
all... Cut the podcast. Stand, like, if he hunts a stand that I hung, he gets really mad because I don't hang the bow hook high enough, or I don't trim high enough, and so he's got to like crouch down to be able to see anything.
Mm.
And then vice versa, if I hunt a stand that he hung, like sometimes I can't even get into it, you know?
Right.
Or I can't reach anything, or he didn't trim stuff low enough.
The bow hook's too high.
Yeah.
Something like
that. He's gabbing out the sticks like this. So you're a little, I don't know, honey. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, can't get in that one.
Yeah. Oops.
Or sometimes when he'll take my mobile stand without permission.
It's both your guys's, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're married. Tells me that all the time. It's our stuff.
Right. See?
Yeah.
It's tough out here.
It is. I like it.
Yeah, stuff that doesn't get thought about until you're doing it. But that's all smaller stuff. But no, you guys are on it, man. You guys are a cool couple to hang out with. You guys are always a ton of fun every time you're in town. And I think a lot of people are jealous of the relationship you guys have. I was hoping for a little more turmoil. But there wasn't.
It's tough because we're both real passionate about it, you know. I mean, the outdoors, so that helps. I think if one of us was less passionate than the other, it probably wouldn't be quite the same, you know. But
yeah,
I said on Clint's podcast, the only time he yells at me is I'll pass bucks that
she should shoot.
I should shoot. Well, no, because like in particular, there was this one buck that was 4.5, and he thought it was a cool buck. He wanted to kill it. I thought it was ugly. And I passed it, and he got so mad at me for passing it.
You thought it was ugly?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. It had.
It had like on one side, it was like a typical 4-point, you know, and then the other side had like 3 giant spikes coming straight up, like 10 inches long each. Like it didn't have a main beam.
So that's cool. I think I would have shot that.
What the heck? Well, one of them got busted off.
Yeah, and then, one of them was broke. So
and I'm like, I had him at 30 yards, and I had like a split second to decide. And I'm like, my heart's not racing. I'm not going to do it. And
hey, that's fair, though. I get it. Yeah. I get both perspectives. That's fun, though.
I think that's probably just sometimes on which deer to hunt. That's like the big thing we disagree on. But like generally, we agree on like where to put stands, enter and exit, like.
Yeah.
Any changes we're making to our property is like we talk through it, but I think sometimes the year we disagree on, but it's okay. Fine, you hunt that one, I'll hunt this one. You know.
Yeah. So
we're not usually going after the same buck. No,
but really. We haven't had a booner on camera.
Well, we have, but it was a property that I had permission on, and he didn't.
Mm.
So.
Well, then that solves the argument.
But yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I think like here in Pennsylvania, it's tough too because. You know, our bow season's like 6 weeks and you can't hunt Sundays. And like I said, his days off are Wednesday and Sunday. So like, I try to make sure when he can hunt, he gets to go where he wants to go. Cause I hunt, I don't know. I'm very fortunate. I have a fairly flexible schedule. I work from home, and as long as I get my work done, my boss doesn't really care.
I still can't believe that they don't. I figured that Sunday thing would be out the window by now.
Yeah. They gave us, I think, 3 last year. It's
we get the random. First.
So I don't get
first Sunday of gun season, the last Sunday of archery, and one Sunday of bear season, which we don't even have bears in our area. Well, not often of Pennsylvania. So
that's so stupid. I don't know what other people's opinions are, but we'll let you guys hunt on Sunday. What the hell are we doing?
Well, we're lucky we live like 30 minutes from Ohio, so we can go over there quite a bit.
That's where all the big bucks are. That's what we've been saying. So,
you know, when I came on, when I came on, like the regular WCB podcast for the first time, I got a lot of people saying like I was really hard on Pennsylvania, and which like fair, but it's only because I've hunted other states now. Like growing up, I never even thought about like going to other states. It's like, why would you go somewhere else to kill a deer? There's a million deer here. And now like
I've
hunted elsewhere and I see why people leave the state. But we do, I mean, you can tell we have giant deer here. They're just hard to come by, you know,
and for sure.
So much hunting pressure.
And
so
I don't think you were hard on PA during that podcast. I think it was a great podcast that you just talked about the reality of it.
Yeah.
And Chris Smith, one of our buddies, also a Team WCB member, nothing will ever be as bad. You know, Chris talked about he sells land in Michigan. That's what he does. He's he's a land agent in Michigan. And all he did for an hour is talk about how he hates hunting Michigan. And the reviews from that podcast were, because he was very frank and honest and just, this is what it is. This is the reality. And it was probably a 50-50 split from reviews. And I don't know what kind of messages he got to his personal page, but one message would be, man, Chris was spot on. Someone had to say it. It's just hard pills to swallow. That's how it is in Michigan. And then the next person would write in and be like, screw that guy. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's in this area. He doesn't know what this area is like. And so it just was that way for 3 months about that episode. So I don't know.
And that's like, I didn't mean for it to be like real negative. It's like just saying like, this is how it is. And honestly, I feel like people should be probably more proud of like, if you're, you know, we make fun a lot, I think, of like, you know, young deer or 120s or something. But I think if you kill a 120 in PA, like, that's an accomplishment. I think people should be proud of that. I'm not like saying that's a negative thing. It's just, they're hard to come by.
Yeah.
And
it's just like in certain areas where, you know, the strip for mule deer has all the big mule deer, but you can go to Western Nebraska and kill big mule deer. But the odds are better in the trophy. It's like killing a 170-inch whitetail. The odds are better in the more core of the Midwest than they are PA and Eastern states. Do they get killed every year and probably every single one of those states out there? Yes. Yeah. But the odds, it's an odds thing. But I also, you know, say too, is like if I want to kill an elk and I live in Michigan, and there's probably elk somewhere in Michigan, but generally,
there is.
If I want to kill an elk and I live in Illinois, I have to leave Illinois to kill an elk. I kind of look at it that same perspective, generally speaking, for whatever it is your trophy whitetail size is. If it's 160 and you live in wherever, where there's not a lot of 160s, you got to make a move.
Yep. So, I agree.
Things to consider. But anyway, this was a fun podcast. It was a quick one. We need to have you guys both in the studio and do like a full length just BS session. I think we're overdue for that.
Separate us and then compare answers.
Oh, you know? We are doing that. Let us have
in the green room. Somebody, you know.
Okay, you got to let us have that podcast. Don't do it with anybody else. We are doing that.
We'll give you that exclusive.
Okay, that's got my brain going. That would be super fun. Okay. Sorry, Rachel. Something like that's happening. We're doing something spicy with that.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, that has to be on the other platform. It'll be more spicy.
Yes. Yeah, where you guys can
do one on this, but yes.
You guys can do, you can say whatever you want on that one. Well, where can people find you guys if you want to do your plug or anything like that? Here's the platform to do it. So
can't find me.
Can't, off the grid.
Yep, off the grid.
He doesn't do the social media thing.
Yep. I'm going to the working class shoot on June
11th.
11th, yeah, go then. if it's, you know.
Yeah, Ryle, Illinois.
Social media. What do you say? He likes to be talked about, but not ever. Yeah. Like Bigfoot.
Like Bigfoot.
I respect
talk
that.
Talk about me, can't see me.
Yeah.
And I'm Biddy Boosh on Instagram.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much. This was fun. This was a good, good, successful couples therapy session.
Yeah.
Congrats on the turkey.
Yeah, thank you.
It's pretty awesome. Great. Sorry, day. Are you guys done turkey hunting now?
Yeah.
I regret not getting a second tag. We're not big on turkey hunting, so I didn't buy a second tag, and you have to buy one before season, but oh well.
Hey, Illinois is tough, too. And you guys only hunt until noon there for turkeys?
It just changed this week, so you can hunt all day. The first half of the season, you can only hunt till noon, and then, yeah, now you can hunt all day.
Pennsylvania rules.
Hey, 1 o'clock in Illinois, so we're kind of...
Yeah.
Illinois is not far off from PA when it comes to everything like that, I bet. I from what it seems. So.
Strange rules.
Doesn't make any sense.
You have to have your bow in a case when you're traveling around? Like, it doesn't have to be in your case at all times?
Or a zip tie around the string so you can't draw it back. The zip tie is the cheapest bow case.
Wow. Makes a lot of sense, you know?
I've been in other states where it's like, no, you can put your bow in your lap until we get to the next hunting spot. Then you can get out and grab your backpack and go.
Yeah.
And then in Illinois, you got to have it cased. So it's cased in the back of your truck. You get to your hunting spot and you got to do all that. Where, like, I don't even think you could have it to where, like, you know, some people have the holders for the back of your seat. Mm-hmm. I think you could do that if you had a zip tie around it. But I don't even fart with it because it's not worth getting caught. I just put it in the case.
Put it in the case. Yeah.
Stupid, but it's Illinois. What do you do? So, well, thank you guys so much. Perfect. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening this episode, couples session episode of Working Class on DeerCast. Get in DeerCast, like, comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think we should bring up when we do the WCB series on their, I don't know what we're going to call that. Spicy topics we could bring up, like see if their answers match type of thing, stuff like that. So we'll see.
It's gonna see be how fun. The marriage holds up, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we're gonna end up divorcing you guys and just feel terrible about it.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried at all.
All right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one.